coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Thanksgiving was getting close, and I said, we've got to do something for these families as they approach the holiday season. And not being good at, especially at roofing or hanging sheetrock, I said, what about pie?
Pie.
Yeah, pie.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Celebrating our 74th year of sharing the light of the gospel in some of the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. Thanks for being there, friend, as we get started here on a Monday. Ever since Bram Floria took over as president and primary host of this ministry at the end of 2016, I can't tell you how many times I've heard him speak about sharing people's amazing stories on the air. They're out there, and we've got to track them down. Incredible stories of God's handiwork being done by regular folk who are simply responding to God's call on their lives. Well, I'll tell you, for the next few days on this broadcast, our special guest is going to share her personal journey, which will delight you, will amaze you, and will leave you wondering, well, what did God do next in your family's life? Here's Bram to make introductions.
With me on Compassion Radio today is the lovely lady, Leanne Lynam. Now, Leanne is a friend of our families and a great mentor for our children. She taught for many years at the Christian school where our kids began their education. And like many other families that started in Christian school, we decided to finish our family's education through homeschooling. And Leanne, you are now involved with helping other families do that same thing. Thank you for joining us here on Compassion Radio.
Well, thank you. Yes, we do go way back. In fact, your eldest daughter and my younger son started kindergarten together and and I think proceeded to challenge each other to greater excellence all along the way.
Iron sharpening iron sometimes quite viciously.
I think so.
Yeah, but a lot of natural competition there.
That's right. I did get involved at their school just in terms of being a parent volunteer at first and trying to enhance what we could offer. I'm at the school there while working for Texas Parks and Wildlife for many years.
Yeah.
And when I finished 30 years at Texas Parks and Wildlife, I really wanted to go back to that experience of sharing science and learning with children. So now I'm teaching for a homeschool group that lets families choose their own sort of pattern of education, but access people with expertise in certain fields when they want that.
And we can't talk brand names so much, but it happens to be a kind of academy environment that happens on one day a week. So that's about as far as we'll go in explaining.
That's right.
And it really is a great collection of courses that are available. This is really like university level kind of focus and mentorship. I mean, you're teaching people on that level.
Well, I think it does at least prepare students to step right into the university setting and be really well prepared. And in terms of giving the students some responsibility for keeping up with their own pace of learning and motivating themselves to do the outside of classwork, it's really good preparation.
Now, initiative and motivation and taking personal responsibility is really an ethic of your family. I've seen that over the years. The kids challenged our kids because they were always pursuing excellence. They knew that was what God called us to be in life, is excellent in the things that He's given us to do. And over the years, you've lent your scientific knowledge to help the kids learn more, and you've spun off many other excited, budding biologists and scientists from those school years that are now pursuing their careers because God inspired them through people like you. We need good mentors. You have lent that motherly perspective, but also a real flinty eye for pursuing excellence in everything, regardless of what the world thinks. You've inspired many, many students. So I just want to say that's the kind of person you are. That's the kind of person we're talking to today, someone who tackles the difficult things and is not afraid to engage on the bigger questions of the day. Now, there's an interesting story that just blew my mind last Thanksgiving time. We were so heartbroken over an event that happened here in Texas just a few months ago. In fact, on the way to one of my board meetings in California, I was driving right down the road past New Braunfels and knowing that one of the worst tragedies our state has seen in years had just happened like the day before. And we were still reeling from that. There was a mass murder that happened in a church down southeast of San Antonio. That was something we all prayed earnestly for as individuals and as a church. I mean, the world knew about this event.
Right.
It was horrible in every respect. And it was a tragedy of epic proportions. And then something interesting happened in your case, because you as a family, you as a church community in the city of New Braunfels, and as a Christian kingdom throughout Texas, did something very unexpected. You didn't realize how far it was going to reach.
That's right.
And you were responding to a natural disaster.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about this whole pie gospel project.
You know, Texas was kind of reeling last year. Hurricane Harvey came through with such vengeance, and everyone saw the images of the flooding that took place on the upper Texas coast. And meanwhile, the mid-Texas coast had just been windlashed, and cities with storefronts and homes blown out. And there was so much need, and already people were trying to say, how can I help?
I know even in our counties up here, we weren't part of the disaster declaration, but I came home from a trip during that week and found things like ceilings falling in and stuff blowing off our roofs. It was quite a windstorm that came through off that hurricane. And these are millions of people that are outside the disaster zone.
Right.
But inside the disaster, it was, the destruction itself was phenomenal.
Right. And then as we were all still trying to go, how can we help people face this kind of loss, the event happened in Sutherland Springs, where 26 people were killed by a gunman in a small Baptist church there. And that's the real kind of event that you go, why in the world? And what can we even do to make things better for a group of people like that? And I honestly was still just trying to get my mind around that one. But I think I knew I could find a way to respond to the hurricane issues, because I actually grew up on the mid-Texas coast, and my small hometown of 200 people or so sustained quite a bit of damage. They were off the beaten path and a little bit slow for the formal responses to get to them. And
it's still slow down there.
Yes,
everybody
yes.
who has any responsibility to reach the coast is doing the best they can. We are talking about thousands of villages and towns across the coast that are still in rebuilding mode.
Right, that's right. And some get attention in the news media and therefore some additional response, and some don't. You know, the one 20 miles away may not have ever been noticed.
But so your heart lies in a very special place along the coast.
That's right. The little town of Ostwell is located about 25 miles north of Rockport. So we all know Rockport is where the storm came ashore. And that meant Ostwell took a lot of wind damage, being on the eastern side of the storm. And so we had, our church in New Braunfels had taken a group of people down immediately after the storm to just help pick up branches and help people be able to get around town and get into their homes and that sort of thing. But we kept wanting to know what we could do more, and we sort of struggled with finding enough expertise or finding that right amount of time or the resources to throw at them. And meanwhile, time was going by and Thanksgiving was getting close, and I said, well, we've got to do something for these families as they approach the holiday season. And not being good at, especially at roofing or hanging sheetrock, I said, what about pie?
Pie.
Yeah, pie.
Now, I do believe that these are divine inspirations and that they are divine appointments in the mix, because sometimes God calls us or inspires us to do something that seems nonsensical at the moment, but it's right in His wheelhouse and also within the capabilities that He's given us to do. And yours was in the baking department. So what did you do with this pie plan?
Well, I thought about pies. Not that I'm an expert baker, but I knew that I could make a pie, and I knew that there were great bakers within our church. And to me, pie represents something about home and family and special holidays like Thanksgiving, you know, more so than cookies or other things. You know, it represents a little bit of extra effort and extra time.
And who knew how many tables would actually be set for Thanksgiving after that disaster, because so many homes were lost.
Right, that's right. And so I thought, well, Ostwell's not so big. It's only about 50 households in that town. What if we could make a pie so that every household in Ostwell wanted one, could get one? And so I began to kind of pitch the idea, and then almost immediately began to have some second thoughts. But that rarely stops me from embracing an idea,
and what kind of
my family
did
will
you
tell
have?
You. Well, our little church only has about 50 families involved, so I had to count on everybody making a pie to meet.
It's 100% buy-in.
Yeah. But the same week, our church was hosting part of a program for the homeless, in which we have homeless live at our church for a week at a time. And so that meant a lot of our congregation was going to be involved in that. I knew people would be busy with their own Thanksgiving preparations. I had 25 people coming to my house and guests from Germany. And we also were part of a ministry that serves or seeks to help with some developmental as well as evangelism issues in Zimbabwe. Mm. Noah's Farm annually fries 700 to 800 turkeys for Thanksgiving so that the money that's used for sales can be used for water wells in Zimbabwe.
Are these fried turkeys happening here in the States and the money's being forwarded, or something they actually do in Zimbabwe?
No, it's happening in San Antonio each year by the director of Noah's Farm. So his goal is to not only raise enough money to drill a water well in Zimbabwe, but also raise enough money to be able to sponsor 200 turkeys for wounded warriors at some of the military facilities in San Antonio.
So you're talking about a big mission cross-culturally across the sea in another continent, also having spillover and paying it forward to people right here in your community. The scope's getting bigger as we talk.
It really is, and people from our church have to help with that, mm-hmm. because when you fry 400 turkeys on Thanksgiving Day, it takes a lot of people to be involved. And so there I was going, I don't know if we'll get to 50 pies.
You're in for a penny, in for a pound now, aren't you?
I was. I told my son when he came home from college, we're making pies. That's what we're doing.
One warm slice of apple a la mode for me, please. We'll get right back to this delicious story on Compassion Radio. Hopefully by now, you know that Compassion Radio is a going kind of ministry. Come along with us.
Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten. If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Thanks, Bram. You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And 24/7, you'll find us on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to this program.
I told my son when he came home from college, we're making pies. That's what we're doing.
And of all of Frank's accomplishments, I wouldn't think about pies being one of those, but now he's added that to his resume as well.
I guess so. Yeah, well, when you're living on your own in an apartment, sometimes you pick up skills you didn't have before, so now pies are added to it. So, yeah, we began to count the numbers, but it still wasn't adding up in terms of the promise of pies that we needed. But then a woman from our church came to me and said, you know, I've been wanting to get our Girl Scout troop involved in this Harvey response. And in fact, her own daughters had gone down on that cleanup. And she said, do you still need some pies? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, how many? We don't want to overload you. And I said, well, as many as you can make. She said, well, how many do you have promised? I said, 10. And she said, okay, we'll make pies. So
didn't scare her away.
No, it didn't. And then some people passed me some money, and I thought, well, okay, there are some really great pie-making companies around here, and maybe I can just buy some pies. But then I remembered that a student of mine last year who was going on a mission trip to Honduras had sold pies to raise money. So I called her, and it was 2 days before I needed the pies, and I said, hey, could you make me a couple of pies? Are you doing that? And she said, sure, I can make you pies. And I don't think she was actually doing a pie fundraiser this year, but she made me a couple of pies, and I used some of the money for that, and she went to Honduras. The other pies I thought about was the fact that one of the local churches sponsors missionaries in Nicaragua, and one of their big fundraisers is selling pies. But the deadline had passed. But that night when I got home, I had an email that said they'd extended the deadline. So I ordered a couple more pies. Supported work.
So again, we're talking about dominoes tipping here that are supporting more than one mission endeavor.
We are. And it's because, you know, somebody at the church said, I can't make a pie, but here's some money. And so I was able to find those connections. And so...
It's funny how the kingdom gets knitted together.
Oh, I know.
Especially in doing the things that reflect his character.
It's truly amazing. And along the way, you know, I think this is truly God working, was to just give me peace and keep following the pieces, because I just wasn't sure we would have 50 pies.
I love that phrase.
Yep.
Give you peace and follow the pieces.
Of five, yeah.
It seems like you are going like breadcrumbs down a trail trying to gather them all up again.
I am, and so I really actually didn't know. I headed to our church on the Wednesday when we were going to deliver the pies. That was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, with a few other things on my mind as well. My daughter had had a job interview that day that I was going to drop her off on the way, and my mother had a follow-up on some tests that the doctors wanted to see her again. I was going to pick her up. And so things were becoming ever more complicated.
Life goes on.
Yeah, that's right. But when we got to the church that morning, there were 51 pies. The Girl Scouts had provided 24. I'd managed to purchase 4. We'd made some at our house, and then people from church.
And you were already juggling your mind, how am I going to spend the rest of this day getting the rest of this done?
Yeah.
And God had already provided.
That's right. The pies were there. And we loaded up, headed down toward Ostwell, made all those appointments along the way, and got to Ostwell. And what we had announced was that people could come by and they could have a slice of pie and a cup of coffee, kind of a time of community fellowship, and or they could take a pie home if they wanted one for their Thanksgiving meal. Well, what I learned about a little bit later was that another couple who had just fallen in love with this little town of Ostwell, they weren't from there, they just heard about the need, and they had been going down and responding to some of the recovery needs from the hurricane, heard about the pies, and they said, well, we don't want there to just be pies, we'd like to have a community meal. And so they provided funding to buy hams and other things to go together for a community meal. And the mayor, who was a young woman that I grew up with there in town, said, well, we've been wanting to get people together to be thankful for how far we'd come. And so that evening, there was pie by the slice, there was pie to take home, or there was a meal with pie afterwards. And people came and were able to enjoy it in all those different ways.
Leanne, from what I know about the history of the original Thanksgiving, it was a feast that went on for a number of days. But the whole germination of this thing came from this inspiration. We need to be thankful.
Right.
And then one thing led to another, and pretty soon it went beyond the boundaries of this initial community, and they reached out to the Indians that were still living in the area. And there was a moment, a window of peace there.
Right.
We know there are many other battles that happened with Native Americans over the years. But in that window, God's blessing of peace seemed to be on that entire community. And we are the inheritors of that tradition that became a national holiday.
Right.
But it still has spiritual roots.
Yes.
And it seems to me like the way this thing was emerging in Ostwell was very much like that, that the Spirit himself was kind of nudging people together.
Yes.
And bringing community back together.
I think so, too. I really believe so. And, you know, that evening it was wonderful to see the community of Ostwell, because somebody asked about one of the ladies in town who was a more elderly widow, and they said, well, did she come down? And nobody had seen her come down. And so some other young person from town went down to pick her up so that she could come and pick specifically the type of pie she wanted. We could have taken her a pie, but she came down, and believe me, there were, you know, every pie variety you could imagine. So when this woman who had been actually a leader in my 4-H group and already involved in community for many years, when she was brought in, she saw, I think, buttermilk pie. Her eyes lit up, and she grabbed it and
I'm
said,
a sucker for
I
a custard.
Enjoy this so much. That's right. And I just think about that, that this woman had given so much to the community.
Yes.
And then some young person said, I need to go pick her up so that she can.
And now you're kind of stepping back into your own childhood, too.
Yes, exactly. And seeing those people and...
So how did that wrap up? You have an event now when it was supposed to be a distribution becomes a family gathering.
Yes, that's right. And We had a number of the pies taken home and a number of them eaten. I think there was a chocolate cream pie that didn't stand a chance of getting taken home because people dove into it right away. Yeah. We set aside a few pies because there were people we could think of the next day that we might want to deliver to. But still, when we got up the next day on Thanksgiving morning, we had some pies that weren't claimed. And I thought, what should we do with this? And because things had kind of run into the night, I had decided just to stay there in my hometown with my mother and from there drive to San Antonio and help with this turkey fry that was happening. And I thought, well, maybe I can just take the pies to the turkey fry and maybe people will, you know, we can give away some pies there or we can eat them as we're frying turkeys or... And so I had never driven that route straight from Austwell to San Antonio. And what I didn't realize was that that route took me up Highway 87 right through that town of Sutherland Springs.
And of course, it was a part of your consciousness at that point because you were very focused on the thing you knew God had told you to do first.
Right.
So
right.
As happens with a lot of interesting stories and missions, a funny thing happened on the way to the work that I intended to do for God.
That's right. Yes, I saw the sign on the road that said Sutherland Springs, 15 miles or something, and I said to my family, I said, "Oh, we're going to go through Sutherland Springs,"
and again to recap what we mentioned earlier, this was the town where the worst mass church shooting in Texas history happened.
Yes, that's right. And it had only been a few weeks since that had happened, really. As we approached Sutherland Springs, you know, we kind of, in my mind, I could already see the places that had been described in the news reports. There was a convenience store across the road, and there was a, you know, wooden white Baptist church, and now there were crosses along the street, and we saw all those things. But then what I noticed was that the parking lot at the church was full of people. And I knew that the church was now meeting outside of the main building, and
they had a tent erected.
There was a tent erected there.
So you're pulling into this church and realizing that there's a group gathered already.
That's right.
And what did that tell you?
Well, I couldn't imagine. I saw people one by one walking up to the door of the church, and already by this time they had fixed the interior of the church so that those who wanted to come and pray and reflect could be struck by the loss that was there and just, you know, offer their prayers for the affected families. But there were a lot of other people going around the side of the church into like a side door, and so we decided to follow them. And so we got the pies that we had left out of the van and followed somebody in. And when we opened the door, there was a group of people in there, and there was food spread out all over. And so they were having a meal for the community. And I think they had enough pies. But I told one of the women there what I had, you know, some pies that were meant for hurricane survivors, but that we had them with us and we'd like to offer them if they could use them. And she said, "Yes, we'll send them home with people if we don't use them today." And so, you know, we had the chance to share a hug and a word that we were praying for them, and we went on our way and fried 400 turkeys. But knew that every single one of those pies that showed up at our church had a place they were intended to be.
And that's a wrap on the first part of Bram's visit with this delightful friend, Leanne Lynam, on today's Compassion Radio. Now, as Bram mentioned at the top of the broadcast, the Floria family have been longtime friends of Leanne and her family. And we're going to continue this visit tomorrow with an unexpected and dramatic plot twist to the story that you won't want to miss. That's tomorrow. Our purpose here at Compassion Radio is not to make our organization big, but rather to help you make a big impact for Jesus Christ in a needy world. Bram joins us now in studio.
Jim, you've done a marvelous job in the past few weeks helping to feather in some of the absolute classics of Compassion Radio with some of the new programming we've been doing. And I'm glad that we've been able to bring new and fresh stories to you. But it's also the power of a faithful heritage that has made Compassion Radio what it is today. And Jim, I thank you for digging deep there to find the best that Norm and Cher had to offer over the years. And it's important for us to understand why we're bringing them back to you now. It's not just because they're incredible programs, but because the projects and the people that are mentioned here are living legacies. And they're people that are continuing to do the work that God wants done in some of the world's toughest places. So thank you for standing with us as we bring you the new classics in the months to come. And keep listening with us as we go, because as we go, you go with us. And we can't go unless you send us. So thank you for your faithful support. If you thought about supporting a Compassion Radio project or the ministry itself directly, consider starting that now, and perhaps even as a monthly continuing supporter. A gift of any size, $5, $10, $20, or maybe $50 a month, goes a huge distance into preparing the stories that bring the world of God's gospel alive and well today to your ears and hopefully to your hearts to change your life where you live today. Please contact us today.
Reach out to us, CompassionRadio.com. You can give safe and secure right there online, or give us a call, 800-868-2478. 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, Jim, the website.
CompassionRadio.com. Come on by and see us, especially if it's been a while. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you drop us a line, pay us a visit.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. Tune in tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.